This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 171. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Flashpoint kicks off the new DCU, starting with yet another Justice League number one. Installation requires a reboot? This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, September 4th, 2011. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs. And you can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfpn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, this was the smallest week for DC Comics since I bought two titles a week as a kid. Because that's all the money I had, and that's back when they were 20 and 50 cents a piece. And the last time DC did a reboot as big as this, my address started with 171, and this is episode 171. Coincidence.
Oh, geez. You and your coincidences.
So, let's start off this very small and yet large week with Flashpoint number 5 of 5 by Johns and Kubert. So it's Flash and Zoom in the final battle. And apart from Thomas Wayne, all the other characters are really just in the background.
Yeah, they're just kind of fighting each other in the background.
And I was hoping we'd learn a little more in this final issue because they left a ton of stuff unresolved. I guess they're figuring, well, this universe doesn't exist after this issue, so who cares?
Well, didn't they pretty much kill everybody else off?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter anyways.
So Zoom tells Barry the big secret that Barry is responsible for Flashpoint. We learn that he went back in time to save his mother's life by stopping Zoom, and somehow this affected everything else, except for the fact that in the Reverse Flash one-shot, it showed him causing it and not Barry.
Well, I don't remember that. It's been so long ago.
Yeah,
how did it show it?
They certainly indicated that Zoom was the one who maybe didn't start it to happen, but he's certainly the one that went around to make sure that what happened to Bruce and what happened to Clark and what happened to everybody else.
Right. But maybe it was the fact that Zoom killed Barry's mom originally, right?
Right.
So that triggered Barry to go back and made Barry the, what do they call it, the time point or whatever that can't change. Yeah, the fixed point in time. So that Zoom could come back. He could change everything else, but Barry would be that fixed point and he could still have his revenge on
right.
Barry.
Because Barry has somehow created this paradox where Zoom can now kill Barry and still live. And he's ready to do it and he's doing his whole blah-ha-ha thing of, you know, how will I kill you and all this. And then Wayne sneaks up behind him and skewers him with a sword. And meanwhile, the battle rolls on, and Thomas tells Barry to run, to leave. He has to undo all of this. But he hands him a letter, and so Barry runs off to see his mother one last time. And when he explains what he's going to do, his mother's like, well, you have to do this. I'm not important. You need to make things right.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Exactly.
Or the one.
So he stops the other Barry from saving his mother. And then we get this two-page spread where we show some of the Vertigo characters, the ones they're bringing back from Vertigo into DC. We see the Wildstorm characters and we see the DCU characters merging and somehow changing. And it's all being narrated by this mysterious hooded woman. So Barry finds himself back at the Central City Police Department. He runs to the Batcave, And he gives Bruce the letter from Thomas, and we get to see Bruce cry, which we hardly ever see.
Now, immediately this says to me, where are we? What is the time here? Because Barry knows Bruce.
Right.
And Bruce knows Barry.
Yes.
That is my point here. I'm right. pointing this out.
Right. As we'll learn in the next one, we'll get a better idea as to what's going on in the timeline here. So, unfortunately, none of this really explains what happens next. It doesn't really explain how we get to the reboot other than it happens or what happens in the reboot.
So, apparently, what happens during the reboot is what was happening going on during that montage.
Right. That two-page spread. That's as much as we know about the reboot.
Okay.
And speaking of that, hang on, everybody. Grab onto something. We're going through the reboot.
And we're all shaking around here now like it's Star Trek.
Falling out of
scenes.
Our chairs.
Yeah. Okay. And poof. Whew. That was something.
Justice League number 1 by Johns and Lee. So the story starts 5 years ago, and that's what they said they're going to do in both this title and Action Comics number 1. Those are going to be the two that tell us what happened to get to the new current point in the new DCU.
Okay, so we're assuming then that Barry wakes up, so to speak.
In the current time.
In what's 5 years after what we see in Justice League number 1.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. We get some shots of the Gotham City Police Department chasing Batman with helicopters, and he's in turn chasing an alien. The alien turns to attack, and then we see a lot of green light, and of course it's Hal. And it's the first meeting between Bruce and Hal. Hal is even cockier than he was before in the earlier universe, and starts asking Batman what his powers are. You know, do you have super strength? Are you bullet resistant? And then he realizes, quote, "You're not just some guy in a bat costume, are you? Are you freaking kidding me?"
Yeah. Okay, that was a good line.
So Batman reaches out and takes Hal's ring and says, "Well, you weren't concentrating. That's why I was able to take your ring. I don't need powers." So the alien blows himself up, but leaves behind a mother box, which is, of course, something from the whole Fourth World New Gods continuity.
But we don't need to know what that is
right.
at this point.
At this point, we know it's a mother box because it's a box and it's pinging.
But the reader really doesn't need to know that it's a mother box.
That's correct. And somehow Hal leaps to this conclusion of, well, maybe this is all connected to that guy in Metropolis. They say he's an alien?
So aliens are bad.
Yeah. Hal tracks the alien, Superman, down with the ring. And on the way, they fly over a football field. And there's a game going on, and Vic Stone is the star player, and he's on top of the world. All these people are trying to get him to sign up with their team. He's on top of the world, except that the fact that his father ignores him. And that's about as much as we learn there.
Yeah.
We see, by the way, and I only know this because I saw it in one of the forums, the mysterious hooded woman from Flashpoint number 5 is in the stands during the football game. You see her in the very, very background. So Hal goes in. His plan is to go in and restrain Superman for questioning. And that doesn't go very well.
So apparently, even though Hal is a Green Lantern and knows he's supposed to be taking care of the entire space sector, he still believes he's the most powerful thing around.
Yes, absolutely. And so we see in one whole panel, Superman with the new costume. So what can you do? So it was great dialogue, what there was of it. The problem is it's Jim Lee, and Jim Lee equals splash panels. Which I think is a very lazy way of doing things. Take an entire page or two pages and just go, here's one picture. Which is fine to do once in a while, but Jim Lee does it so often that you don't end up with a lot of story.
Yeah, it's more like art than comics.
And that's what he's known for, his art, and so that's what he does.
But I'd really rather see story along with pictures.
Right, because one of the big complaints about this has been, why do we see just Batman and Green Lantern with just a one-page slash panel of Superman? This is JLA. If I wanted to read Brave and the Bold, I would do so.
Well, not this week, you wouldn't.
Well, yeah. I'd go back and read my old Brave and the Bolds. So Geoff Johns has stated he wanted to take this very slowly, and that's fine, but this is way too slowly. I don't see how you're going to get new readers into Justice League when you don't have the Justice League in the number one.
Yeah.
Even if they'd all been in the last panel, that would have been fine. But there's only two characters, really, in this story.
And you don't even get much between them.
Right.
So.
And as I mentioned, it's Clark in the new Superman costume. You can officially put me in the no column on that. Supposedly, this will be explained as to why the costume has now changed in Action Comics. But I was a little underwhelmed. Certainly, it would have been impossible to be overwhelmed considering how much they overhyped this. As this is the big event. And by the way, why there were only two comics that came out from DC this week.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially when I compared it to reading the Justice League number one from 1987.
Right.
And that had so much story in it.
Mindy's doing a new blog on Comic a Day, and she's going back through my old collection and picking out some stuff either I've suggested or she's interested in. And so right now she's begun this week reading, starting with Justice League number one, except the Justice League number one from 1987.
And I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying the older comics more than the current comics.
Mm-hmm.
Even the comics from previous to the reboot. I really think maybe it's just because I get to read them all so close together in order and not have to wait month to month. It's like effectively reading a trade. I'm not sure, but I really am enjoying it.
So you can check that out on the website, by the way, or on the Facebook page. We're posting it there as well. Since it has been such a small week, we're going to mention a couple other things. First off, what we're looking forward to, at least what I'm looking forward to, in the new 52 over the next 4 weeks, because we're going to see 51 more number one issues posted over the next 4 weeks.
And I would just like to point out that Mark and I are not going to read all 52
of
the new comics.
No, there's about,
I think, 48.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, or less than that, I think. Next week, September 7th, the ones I'm looking forward to, Action Comics number one. It's the Superman reboot by Grant Morrison.
Now, I will read it, but I'm a little leery because of the Grant Morrison aspect.
Well, Grant is always very much hit or miss. He either is firing on all cylinders or he's incomprehensible. And he was the one who wrote the All-Star Superman miniseries. So he seems to really get the character. At the same time, he was also involved in that terrible Superman Beyond 3D Final Crisis thing, which was an example of the incomprehensible. Batgirl number one. Barbara Gordon returns as Batgirl, and Gail Simone's got her. Very excited about that.
Yes, Gail Simone gets a plus on any of my lists.
Yes. Justice League International number one, a whole new generation of Bwahaha.
And of course, I will be looking forward to that one.
And Stormwatch number one, where we see the Wildstorm and DC characters mix it up. This is a new Stormwatch with, apparently, Martian Manhunter in the mix.
I think Animal Man is also coming out.
Is that next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I kind of like that one. I like some of these almost third-tier superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of looking forward to that one. I don't think that we pulled the whole series, but I know I asked you to get the number one on that one.
Yep.
And so I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Right.
But not Batwing.
No. September 14th, Demon Knights number one, Medieval DCU by Paul Cornell. Very excited to see that.
You like Paul Cornell a lot, don't
I do.
You?
I do a lot.
Yes.
Green Lantern number one, where we see Sinestro now as the ringholder, and we'll find out what the heck happened to Hal Because, again, in Justice League number one, 5 years ago, Hal is Green Lantern. In the current continuity, he isn't. And then Resurrection Man number one, which was a favorite of mine back in the 90s. This character who pretty much fell off the map after the 1990s returns. I'm very interested in seeing what they do with that character.
Yeah, that's one that I'd like to read, too. So I can't think of if there's any other ones that I'm real excited about that week.
Right. September 21st, Blue Beetle number one. So Jamie returns as the latest holder of the Scarab. And we get to see that, hopefully, I'm hoping it's going to be pretty much just continuing the story that ended in his previous title. And they don't really change that very much, but we'll see what happens. And then DC Universe Presents number one, this new anthology series starting with Deadman. I really think that DC could do a much better job of highlighting their third string characters. And this is their chance to do that in an anthology title.
I wonder if they knew about the TV series that's in development when they put Deadman first on this one, or if it just worked out that way.
It's possible, but I doubt it just because the Deadman series is still like in discussions. If they were trying to do synergy, they would have pulled the character and waited until the TV series existed.
Yeah. Now, this week that we're talking about, I'm kind of excited about Birds of Prey. Because it's going to be a totally different title mm-hmm. than it mm-hmm. was since mm-hmm. we don't have Oracle and the team and everything. So I really am curious as to see how that's going to go
mm-hmm.
and if I'll like it as much.
Right. Then on September 28th, The Flash number one, Barry's new life, not married to Iris, not even dating Iris. We've learned that he's going to be dating Patty Spivot in the new continuity. Now, Iris is still around, and things might change there. I'm kind of hoping it does, because I really think Barry and Iris need to be together.
They must be together.
Because, for some reason, DC's decided that heroes shouldn't be married, making an edict there.
And women should wear pants. Oh,
right.
Wait,
yes.
No.
Yes. Fury of Firestorm number one, Van Sciver and Gail Simone team up. I'm very intrigued as to how that's going to work because they seem to be writers with very distinct styles. And I'm really curious how that's going to work. And then one that just kind of intrigues me, Justice League Dark number one. Probably better than Justice League Menthol. it just seems like a strange name for the title. Also want to note, there's been a project I've been working on this past summer with my comic book collection. About a year ago, managed to lose both the original and the backups of my comic book database. And so I spent this past summer getting it all back into a new program. And I just finished it as of last night. And I've been wondering for a while, really, how many comics I do have. Because the last time I checked, I had something like 16,000.
That's the number we've been saying when people ask.
Exactly. But let's take a look at the top board. Oh, Dean! It's 17,906 comics.
So we'll easily have surpassed 18,000 by the end of the year.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous.
All right. And we're actually going to start posting a few stats on that. I'm trying to figure the best way to do that.
There's some interesting things that this program will tell you about your comics.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. All right. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, go.
Movie related?
No.
Is it some sort of preview?
Yes.
Is it TV related?
Yes.
Is it the TV fall preview?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I had no idea it came out already. So is it a bunch of people on the cover?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I have to guess who's on the cover.
I would say you have to guess more than half of the shows mentioned on the cover.
The shows. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm guessing in terms of new shows, Pan Am is probably on there.
Yes.
I'm guessing what's the name of the show? Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No.
No. Well, maybe she was on the cover last week.
Yeah, Ringer is not on
Ringer.
The cover.
I was thinking, that didn't sound right. Let's see. New shows that are big. One of the Fables knockoffs they're putting coming out this year?
No.
Well, okay. Existing shows. CSI with Ted Danson?
No.
Okay.
Boy, you're not doing too good here.
Modern Family?
Modern Family, yes.
How I Got My Way, How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
Let's see. Probably silly things like Gossip Girls probably on there?
Nope. There's two more, at least, that you should know.
Community?
No.
30 Rock?
No.
Okay.
Well, you have to think networks. They would have evenly divided things up,
okay,
right?
So there's an ABC stuff. We talked about, to say, CBS, the new 2.5 Men.
No.
Let's see. That Two Broke Girls they made a big fuss about?
No.
Wow. Splitting among the networks.
So, for example, you haven't mentioned a Fox show yet.
Oh,
you're out of time.
Oh, well.
So, in any case, there
Playboy Club?
Yes, Playboy Club.
Should have thought of that.
So that would give you 4 out of 7 with the Playboy Club.
Okay.
So maybe I'll give it to you. But Glee and then that new Simon Cowell show.
Oh, geez.
So.
All right. Well, I'll have to take a look at that. Just a reminder to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic A Day blog. And you can subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.